All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the PM versus PMM podcast, where we talk about the four factors of being a great product person: building the right thing for the right users, reducing risks, ensuring alignment, and continuous learning. On this podcast, we dive deeper into product management and marketing 1 week at a time. I'm Aditi.
And I'm Arjun. Aditi, I had a really great weekend. I took the train to Washington, D.C., and I visited my buddy, Shashank. Shout out to you. And it was just such a healing, great time to be with, like, your best friend who doesn't, like, live with you, you know? It's like, ah, this is, like, what? This is, like, so nice. Did you do anything this weekend?
Not really. I kind of just chilled. I was telling you earlier, like, I got a little carried away last night painting. I didn't even realize how late it was until I saw the clock and I was like, shit, the sun's gonna come up soon.
That's crazy. That's actually crazy. Well, today we're talking about factor number one, building the right thing for the right users. And specifically, we want to talk about marketing channels and trying to meet our customers where they are at, especially the customers that are having the most pain with the problem that we're trying to solve. Some product managers call it the hair on fire, the people with their hair on fire. For our news topic today, we're talking about Samsung's latest new piece of hardware, new product line, the Samsung Ring, which is a competitor to O-Ring and some other stuff. So I thought Apple had a new product line, Samsung has a new product line, let's give it a talk. All right, Aditi, let's move on to our topic, meeting customers who have their hair on fire. It's really important, I want to say, to talk to customers that have their hair on fire, because it really ensures that you build a product that is relevant to the most urgent set of users. You're also creating very passionate early adopters by talking to those people first. From me on the product development side, I really love it because you're focusing development on the most critical features. How do you help users the most? And you're also creating a great scalable user base, because if you help the people experiencing the problem the worst, then the people that are not experiencing the problem as well will also be satisfied. You've satisfied everyone. So Aditi, how do you identify niches in your market that are having, like, the hair on fire problem?
Well, it starts with the product, like the problem you're out to solve, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you, at this point, you've done enough market research to know, like, what kind of, like, problem you want to solve. And then the hair on fire kind of thing is basically trying to figure out what neat small problem is going to get the most return on, like, investment. So basically what I mean by that is, if you pick a small problem, how many people are going to, like, relate to it, and how many people are going to respond immediately to it? Mm-hmm. It's not just about relating, right? It's about having, like, an issue that is so imminent that they have to do something about it. And so you find that small problem within that big problem space that you figured out for yourself, and you kind of just, like, attack that small problem with the big product that you've created or the small product that you've created. And you kind of look at, okay, so my customers have this big problem right now. So say they have a problem with, like, not being able to securely save their data on the cloud or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have realized that this is a problem. A lot of corporate companies are dealing with this, or, like, private practices are dealing with it, and they're just not finding the right solution. And you're like, okay, so you go up to, say, like, lawyer private practices, right? Single, double lawyers, and they're struggling to find that security and that privacy that they need. So you're like, okay, we will give you this security and privacy. Your whole product is, like, a cloud saving and a cloud infrastructure, but you're telling them that the problem we're solving is that we're going to be as secure as you need us to be.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, and then when you attack that problem, you are solving their imminent issue that they're facing and the problem that they really have, which is they want to be able to put everything on the cloud so that everyone has access to it with internally, but they can't do that.
So, like, I kind of there might be use cases within that, right? Like, okay, yeah. Lawyers need the data secure, but they need it secure in this very specific way, or they need to be able to access it a specific way. And so you kind of can focus on that niche first of like lawyers who need data security.
Yeah, and then you can build on top of it, right? You can build on top of that use case. Once you've got people in the door with the data security part, you can start talking to them about, okay, so we maintain the same level of security that we've always promised, but you can also use like ChatGPT to search through your documents, or you can use like ChatGPT to summarize the things that you need, or like it can help you think through certain aspects of like a case that you're working on or something. And then like you build on top of that initial feature that got them into the door and like sold the product initially, and then you can upsell them on different things that build on top of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then so lawyers that need data security is like one channel that we found, right? Is that what we'd call a channel?
It would be a single use case. It wouldn't be a channel. It would be a single use case that you've identified.
And then channels would be like how we can attract lawyers with that data security need.
Channels would be how you reach them.
Yeah. Okay. So once we've pinpointed that we want to find a lawyer that needs data security, now we need to go and create channels of reach that connect to those lawyers.
Yeah, basically to figure
Do
out
you
where the
have,
lawyers are.
yeah. Where the lawyers are, that makes sense. What do you have a have you ever done that before? Do you have a story for us?
So basically, the best way to do it is to go where you would go if you were that person. So in a sense, like, so for story time purposes, like if I'm building my personal brand as a product marketer consultant, right? And I'm trying to figure out, okay, so I am trying to offer certain services for a certain audience. So for like early stage founders, right? And I'm trying to figure out, okay, where are these early stage founders most active? And you figure out, okay, they're most active on social media, and they're most active on LinkedIn. And so that's where I started building a presence. And it's like that includes posting, that includes like articles, that includes this podcast. And all of that stuff, you kind of just like build your presence, and you kind of with the kind of purpose that I was going for, it's more of like an organic approach where you just like be in front of that person as much as you can, and then you kind of just like you talk to them when they need it, or you reach out when you feel like there's like potential for just like a discussion. It doesn't have to be anything like it doesn't have to be like a consultant call or anything. It's just like for learning purposes. So that's how you would build like a personal brand for someone who's like offering services for and professional services for like consulting. And yeah, so basically what I did was I am looking to learn more about product marketing. So where would I go? I would go to certain like private product marketing forums like Product Marketing Alliance, but I would also go to LinkedIn, right? And LinkedIn is where a lot of people are just like sharing their general knowledge, they're sharing articles. So that's where, when I went there, I realized, okay, so this is a platform where everyone's sharing, so maybe I should try to.
That makes sense. Like you found a channel that, and then you started to understand like how you can leverage that channel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then say, for example, you went on to Reddit. Reddit is different than LinkedIn. And so maybe you would leverage that differently.
Yeah, so for Reddit, it can be a little different. A platform like that, one I really like for software engineers is being able to use a platform like Quora or Stack Overflow, where you can answer questions specifically. And you can like you can contribute to the discussion in a more like structured way almost, where like there's a very like specific technical problem that's being asked, and you can provide the examples that you have from like what you've done, or you can provide more insight into how a certain like issue can be resolved. So when so like if for example, like I'm like building out some profiles for a software engineer, for solutions engineers, and that's basically what I would do. Like I would for a product manager, LinkedIn's a great place to be active, but for someone who's very like highly technical, it probably is more useful for them to be active on like open source platforms and somewhere on like Stack Overflow, where it's much more technical.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's a lot of thinking about like who is this group that I'm after
It's really important to
and
figure out who
putting
your
yourself in
audience
their
is.
shoes.
It's not just about who you are, it's about who your audience is. So if you're a software engineer wanting to connect with other software engineers, then yes, you should go on to Stack Overflow and be active there. But if you're like a product manager trying to look for another job, you should be on LinkedIn.
And how do you, I think one of the things where this can get hard is where it's not so obvious, right? Like what if you have a problem that's a little bit more difficult? Say like, okay, you have a brand of mattresses. Do you remember when, what was that mattress company, Casper? Do you remember when Casper came out?
I don't remember when Casper came out, but I remember
That was like in 2014, 15 or something like that.
it became like this whole thing of like cheaper mattresses, but like better mattresses, and then
Yeah,
it
like
became
drop shipping mattresses. Basically, their innovation was
the
you
mattress
don't
in
need
a
to have a
box, right?
mattress store. Yeah, mattress in a box. And so they could sell it like a lot cheaper.
I have a mattress in a box now.
And like, who knows? I think mine was also a mattress, but like, who knew, right? Who would know that like you could get a mattress in a box? If your target customer are people who need a new mattress and they don't want to pay that much, right? Because you're offering a cheaper service. Like, how do you find the people that want cheap mattresses? That's
Well, it's about identifying who your audience is, right? Again, is your
Ooh.
audience millennials and Gen Z who are just like influenced highly by quick ads, right? That's
Yeah.
what basically Casper's audience is. It's people like us who are all constantly on like TikTok, Instagram, and just like they look at ads, and if they are like exposed to the same ad like 3 times, they'll probably look click through and like look at like what the hell this something is.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, Casper's target audience is on Instagram. They would be advertising on Instagram, which they do. And they would hopefully hope that someone who like sees that mattress over and over, and at some point when they need one, they will think of Casper.
So it's more of a spam approach.
Much. For like a mattress, something that you don't need very often, I can't see any other way of doing it.
Yeah. Have you ever used any like social listening tools?
Like, for example.
Like tools that will, I think there was a bunch of Twitter social tools, listening tools, which basically like every time a tweet comes out with a specific keyword, like it'll let you know. And so that way you can go interact with it and stuff like that.
I've never done that.
Would that be like, what do you think about that for channel discovery?
I think it's great. It helps you figure out what hashtags are trending. It can help you understand when the topics that you're interested in are most active. So like you can figure out times when you should be advertising. It can help you figure out when you should be organically active on the platform. And it can help you understand what re other relevant hashtags can be something that you can look into, or other relative like kind of content that you can go into to get your word out there even more. So it's a great
Yeah.
way to do it, I think.
Yeah, I think it goes more than content, right? Because it also gets into like different perspectives of the problem. So maybe like to go back to that lawyer example, maybe there's some lawyer that tweets a different perspective that your client had. And it's like, okay, like we can solve this problem in this way too. And we can help lawyers better. So I think it also helps with your product roadmap as well. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I think the main thing that I wanted to talk about here was that like finding and connecting with the customers that experience a lot of pain, the potential customers that experience a lot of pain, like really requires a very kind of putting yourself in the customer's shoes first, and then thinking about where a customer would go to find the channels where you should go to go get them. It's a bit of like strategy thinking, it's a little bit of guessing and checking, and it's a little bit of tech assistance and community building that will help you like build out a channel. Would you say that that's correct,
Yeah,
Olivia?
I would say that's correct.
Awesome. All right, well, onto our new segment. So, Aditi, have you heard about Samsung's Ring at all? The Galaxy Ring?
No, what is it?
Yeah, I don't think it was
Either I'm not on social
like,
media as much as I should be, or I just don't get exposed to these things. I don't know. I feel like I never know about what you're talking about on the news segment anymore.
tech news, the tech news.
But I still don't get exposed to this as much as I should.
Samsung's product is essentially a health monitoring ring, very similar to the Aura Ring. And it's kind of Samsung's vision, part of Samsung's vision to get into health technology space. And of course, to widen their Galaxy brand and suite of devices. So I think like I was looking at it. I have an Aura Ring. I was looking at it. It looks the exact same. Like it looks like they just copied Aura Ring. And They didn't even announce any of the sensors and stuff that it comes with, but I assume if it's very similar to the Oura Ring, it'll like track your sleep, your stress, and your, what do they call it? Recovery, I think. I don't remember what Oura calls it, but basically it's like your, how ready are you for the day? Like your energy of for the day. So it's pretty, that I think that's pretty cool. I wonder if it's for Samsung jump into something else, like more into some different health stuff. What do you think could be the reason Samsung made a ring?
Understand rings.
You don't
I don't
have,
understand rings.
well, you have your watch, right? Do you go to
I have
sleep with
my
your watch?
watch, which I barely wear. I should wear it more, but I don't understand the concept of the Oura ring or this ring. I've been exposed to like five different brands who are building out some sort of a like a tech ring on Instagram at this point, and I don't I continue to not understand it a single
Well,
one
do you wear your watch to sleep? Would you? Why not?
because it's uncomfortable. It's so tight on my wrist.
I think that's the reason right there.
I mean,
That's
I
why
wear
one of
rings. Like, rings are not an issue for me. It's just the purpose of these rings. Like, why? So, please tell me, you have an Oura ring. So, how has that improved your sleep?
It's definitely made me more aware of my sleep. It's helped me with, I think some people, it's kind of negative. It turns into negative of like trying to maximize their sleep and playing this like self-improvement game. But for me, I use it more as a marker of how I need to take care of myself. Sometimes I'll get really stressed out and I'll like wake up and my body's sore, even though I didn't do a workout the previous day. And I'll look at my ring and it's like, I need to get more sleep. Like over the past couple days, I haven't been getting enough sleep to match the stress of my day. And so it's like, okay, what can we do about this? Maybe during the day we can like take it easier. We don't have to operate at 100 out of 100 operating capacity for the whole day. Like we can do 80% for more than half of the hours of the day. And through that, I can like help myself recover, you know? That's kind of how I use it more. I
Yeah.
don't even use it to like, or to go to sleep earlier. Like sometimes I do that, especially when I'm like in a really good routine. I'll put together like a week where I really focus on my bedtime routine and increasing my sleep. But most of the time I use it as a mark of like how to gauge like the energy rate that I should run at, you know?
I guess I would understand it more if I actually used my Apple Watch. I'm
Mm-hmm.
so bad with the Apple Watch in general that like I'm like working out and it will tell me that I'm working out and I should record it and I still won't record it.
Like you'll get the notification,
I'll get
you'll
the
just look at it
notification
and
and my
roll.
watch will be like, "Hey, you're rowing. You should record your rowing exercise." And I'm like, "Go away."
You have no
So
desire to
I have no
get.
desire to record any of that.
Honestly, it's kind of a
Okay.
good thing because we're obsessed with self-improvement,
I
so.
mean, I have it. I work out. I have the little phone sleep thingy on my phone where it's like it tells me to go to bed at a certain time, but like I don't listen to any of it.
Well, then Samsung's vision apparently is to create like a whole connected care ecosystem for your home and your health through the ring and your phone,
I could see that.
which I think is pretty interesting, but it's also like, wow, is the tech controlling us
Well,
at
yeah.
all?
Did you not expect that was going to happen? Pretty soon we're going to be living in the Matrix.
Yeah, honestly, that would be really cool. Like I had already set at my apartment for the lights to change at like a certain time to like signal to me like, okay, RJ, you need to start like heading to bed. And so I think like having a whole Samsung out pad where that effect was there times 10 would be actually pretty cool.
I know. I've always wanted a smart home. Whenever it is possible for us to buy a home, I will buy a home and it will be a smart. I will turn it into a smart home if it's not one.
All right. Let's move on to a fun chat. What do you have anything fun to share?
I had a good time at that meetup we went to.
Oh yeah, last week
I
on
had a good
Wednesday
time
we
meeting
went
a few
to
people. Yeah. I didn't look into like what it was. I probably should have done that before I went. But then like as I was talking, I was like, these are all product managers. And then I figured And then I looked and I was like, oh, this is a newsletter for product manager.
Yeah, it was a product. We went to a product meetup in New York, and it was really cool, actually. I had a good time
There's one
talking
today, you
to
know?
PMs. What was that?
There's one today.
Oh yes, Monday. There is one today,
The same group. But it was fun to be able to meet all those people. I should really go to more. But it gets so nerve-wracking to go alone. It's easier to go with
I
someone.
don't know if you're asking me to go with you or
No,
not.
I'm not. I can't do it today anyways. But like it would be nice to have like someone to go with whenever I wanted to. Like you're only here for a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure you can make some friends at one of these events, and then for me, Aditi, I have been rocking a mullet for the last over a year, since like September of 2023. And this weekend, I just started getting so sick of it. Really, it's like over the last
You
couple
get a
weeks,
haircut?
I cut my mullet off.
Oh, thank God. I
Gosh.
hate mullets.
I think it looked pretty good, like every like once in a while. But like when it grew out, it just started looking really nasty and unkept. And I rocked it. I enjoyed it, but I'm off of it now. So it's all, I keep touching the back
Congratulations.
of my head because it's like it's
Yay.
so weird to have short hair back here.
No, you're gonna look good in your birthday photos. It's
Absolutely. Well, that wraps up another episode of PM versus PMM. Remember, the four factors of being a great product person are: one, build the right thing for the right users; two, reduce risks; three, ensure alignment; and lastly, continuously be learning. We want to hear from you, so reach out to us on LinkedIn or Instagram or wherever if you have any ideas for the show and if you'd like to be on the show. We would love to have you be a part of it. Thank you so much for joining our deep dive into product discussions. Until next week, keep innovating and aligning.
Bye.
Bye.